And you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer again. Our Father and God, we thank you. Just that we can thank you very much. That's enough, God, if we can just thank you and honor you. So take your word, Spirit of God, and honor it, and help us understand. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can go in our exercise as we've been sharing together. And keep in mind, if you would, in the light of God's word that we've been looking at, God wants John, the first epistle of John, is to bring to pass the wonderful, wonderful 21 chapters of John that are to what? To help us to understand, to believe. Believe what? John 1:14, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And 21 chapters to help us understand. We're to understand God's wonderful creativity, creating us in his image and likeness, and his wonderful redemption in buying us, paying the price, that he can be, he can find his home in our heart. That's why we were created in the first place, to enjoy God in his awesomeness. So, 1 John comes along, epistle, near the 100 AD, and the struggle is there, all kinds of opposition is there, all kinds of things are there to keep you from believing, because the world system loves darkness rather than light, and they aren't interested. So once the impact of what was happening on the day of Pentecost, when God was making a new creature, taking simple Jews and Gentiles and saving them to the uttermost, when he's doing that, as he does that, God, to help us understand, God is going and doing, and God wants us to be able to exercise, to enjoy God's wonderful person in God's wonderful way, to be able to exercise that life. So now, so 1 John is about fellowship, as you read, 1 John 1:3, and fellowship, and to have joy, verse 4, and to be able to what? To get out of bed in the morning, to go down the corridor of time, and to what? Walk in the light as he is in the light, John 1:7, 8, and 9, and 10. To walk in the light as he is in the light. To be able to enjoy a simple, wonderful relationship to God. How so? Because God takes our old nature and he died on the cross to pay the price, to free us from that old nature, so that we have it, but we aren't appalled. We just have it. It doesn't go away 7 days a week, 7 days every week, 24 hours a day, and we have it. So therefore, in God's wonderful kindness to go and teach us and help us to understand, to be able to enjoy God in the light of our old nature, all the while enjoying a unique relationship to God. God is able to go and save us in a wonderful way. So now, having said that, and so all the enemy is there to keep it from ever, to not enjoying this simple, wonderful relationship to God. Now, so the false prophets are there, teachers there, everyone's there to, as we shared all these things. that men love darkness again. They just are doing what they do, and they don't want any light. So, to catch a little bit of that, go back over with me, please, over to the book of Jeremiah for a moment. And in Jeremiah, and chapter 23. And in Jeremiah 23, before Israel is taken by Nebuchadnezzar, Israel was, the false prophets were busy, busy, busy. The teachers were busy. The priests were busy. And so sliding down, if I may, in chapter 23, going down to verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. It's all right. That everything's, they give a message that our old nature wants to hear. So sliding down to verse 21. Oh, I'll read verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, till he have performed the thoughts of his heart in the latter days. He shall consider, and ye shall consider it perfectly. When these things happen, we share, like Jeremiah, when these things happen, you're going to understand. You may not understand what I'm telling you now, but when it happens, you'll know it. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets. I did not send them, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Verse 22, but if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? So God, here you are, and you're looking, and the busy back then in the days of Jeremiah and all the days, always busy, busy to keep your people from light. And you know in Matthew 24, might as well go there on your way back, Matthew chapter 24. And our Lord tells them as they're looking into the future, and he's in chapter 24, picking up if I can, in verse 4. 24:4, verse 4, Matthew. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For reason, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They're going to have. Sliding over, if we can, to pick it up again. In verse 10, for then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many, Paul, verse 11, many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. So, in these last days, in now, here we are in the New Testament, and Christ is there, and God has done a wonderful thing in the believer's heart. He's died and risen, rose again. He gave them a new relationship to Christ. They're new creatures in Christ in a marvelous way, and they're to enjoy God in his most marvelous way. So now, having said that, so, John, let's back over to 1 John. Over to 1 John, if I may, in chapter 3. And in 1 John, picking up, if I can. Now remember now, they're hearing, they were caught up. And the 1 John is written to stop them being caught up in all the stuff that was being said that was contrary to what God had said. The simplicity of understanding, the single-heartedness of understanding a wonderful, unique relationship to God, our Creator. So, in chapter 3, you remember, as we did in verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. So the God is dwelling in the believer, and verse 24, God is dwelling in the believer, he in him, and the believer is dwelling in God. A wonderful, unique relationship. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So we have a unique relationship to God, the vine and the branch. We have that relationship to the, and by the Spirit of God, and God has given us a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God in an awesome way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I may, in God's saving grace, God's going to go and have a unique relationship. All the people that are being through, how are we going to test the prophets? How are we going to test the teaching? How are we going to test all the stuff that's being thrown at us on planet Earth as we walk down the corridor of time? How are we going to handle it? So therefore, in God's wonderful grace, so you have chapter 4, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. We shared all that together. So you got to test them. Put the people to the test. God said, test them. See where God is. The test. Where is God? God is everywhere. God is everywhere all at once in a wonderful way. And the believers have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And having received him as their Savior, they have a unique fellowship with God. And that fellowship with God is the difference. So we're going to test now everybody out there coming at us with all kinds of things. The Spirit of God is going to mark, is it true? Is it false? So therefore, when we come to verse chapter 4, picking up in verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Jesus Christ. Jesus is humanity. Christ is deity. When you cannot be saved, when you receive Christ as your Savior, John 1:14, the Word became flesh. God took on a body born in Bethlehem, Judea. And that body that he took on is going to what? Die on the cross. And God is going to die, rise again, and be seated at the right hand of God. God has made possible a recovery, a restoring to the human heart, that which God intended. You were made in the image and likeness of God to know him. That's why you're different than a kangaroo and all the rest. God made us different to be able to enjoy God. God made us so that he could find his home, image and likeness, that he could find his home in our heart. So when God looked at us, image and likeness, so that when God looked at us, he saw himself. He finds himself in your heart to glorify him. How could we possibly glorify God if God didn't help us to understand his awesome person? And the Spirit of God's ministry, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to help us to be able to what? To enjoy God's awesome, infinite person that is beyond all that we can ask or think, to be able to enjoy him. Now, having said that, and the test is God. God is God. Where is God in the whole thing? Where is God to be found? So therefore, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. It's already sitting here. We're struggling with it. The Antichrist is saying, Christ isn't God, but Christ is God. And you received him as God. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And so the Antichrist spirit was already existent. Prophets are there. The false teachers are there. Chapter 4, verse 1. That's what they're fighting. It's being said everywhere. So the trouble is, who are you hearing? Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? So therefore, as you read, God is going to go and have a test. What's the test? Like in Jeremiah chapter 23, I did not send those people. They're saying that I sent them. They're saying what I said, which I never said. So therefore, what are you looking for? Am I there? Do they know me? Am I found in their heart? Like in your heart. So you're looking for what? Confirmation. God in my heart, your heart confirms. Same love, same love, same love, same life, same Lord. Back and forth. We have the same page. We're on the same page. But when you got they aren't saved, it doesn't connect. It doesn't connect. Doesn't connect. No, God's missing. God's missing. How can we have light? God is light. If I leave God out, I have no light. God is truth. If I leave God out, I have no truth, reality. So I'm sort of stuck. I've got to have God. That's why I have eternal life. God gives to us his life, a unique relationship to God that is to be enjoyed. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and so therefore, and we need to overcome the Antichrist. Chapter 2, if I may, picking up in chapter 2. You remember we did it. Chapter 2, verse 22. And who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. The test, is the Father there? Is God there? If God isn't in it, then just take it as it is, but don't get caught up that God said it. People say all kinds of things, do all kinds of things. Don't get caught up in that in the wrong way. Over to see it again, to the Antichrist. And you have the same thing over in verse 19, remember. Go up to verse 18 of chapter 2, just to remind us. Little children, is the last time, right now. As you have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. We're at the end. We're at the end of the time. Over to 2 John. 2 John, just to tie it in our little mind. Therefore, again, so we see the problem is the enemy, God, the devil himself, loves darkness and not light. And therefore, 2 John, verse 7, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not, N-O-T, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and Antichrist. Verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Sliding down, if I can, I'll read it. Verse 10, is if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not unto your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Therefore, What are we going to do? God said, listen, the enemy's out there. The spirit of Antichrist is there. And you've got to go and overcome that, or else you're going to get clipped. And they're being clipped. That's why when you read 1 John in chapter 4, you read in verse 1, beloved, believe not. Chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not. And to say that another way, stop believing. They were believing. They needed to stop believing. They were caught up discussing with each other, doing whatever, all kinds of thoughts in all kinds of ways, and they were losing the simplicity that was in Christ that they were to enjoy in a most wonderful way. Therefore, sliding down chapter 4, where we were, and you were of God, little children, and have overcome. Chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why did you overcome? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it boils down, there's God and the devil. And that's the whole battlefield. That God and the devil loves darkness. God loves light. God loves truth. The devil loves error. And if you kept reading in the scripture in 1 John 8, you would have read, you are of your father, the devil. That's what they were. What are we saying? Well, God, greater. So the whole battlefield is greater. God in the believing heart and God absent in the heart of the unsaved. And the unsaved are there and the Antichrist is Antichrist. He's the God of this world. Ephesians 2:2, he's the prince, the ruler of the power of the air, the devil. The devil's the boss. The devil has the whole thing. Simple. So, we've got to overcome the devil and his system, the world system, which is what we're looking at, the world system. The world system has no place for God. Religion, it has everything, but no place for God. So therefore, greater is he in you. Where's the battlefield? You are the battlefield. What's the battle about? The enemy wants to keep you in the dark. God wants you to walk, 1 John 1:7, to walk in the light, not in the darkness. So therefore the battlefield, here we are, looking, and God says, I'm the greater. Greater is he that is in you. To overcome. How am I going to overcome, God? Because you're able to go overcome the devil in all of his everything. Because you know from 1 Corinthians and that, all of that, what did they say? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's foolishness. The stupid things you're breathing about a man who is crucified. We think he's crucified. If he really existed, you see, did he really exist? Did he really rise again? I mean, how do you know that? Well, you don't know that. No one knows that, see? Yeah. All of that. Now, I got to cope with that in my mind because I have to understand the facts of God's wonderful person and the facts of reality and of creation are outstanding. There's no animal, there's no science, there's no subject that you can consider on planet Earth that does not bring out the magnificence of God. For God to go and take that little bug and give it all of the color and all of the magnificence and decide a little bug, a flower, a tree, the stars, like we share in Sunday school, 10 trillion to 100 trillion stars. Wow. Yeah. Everything says there's God. You say there's God. The average chickadee, the average butterfly, the average animal. You don't see them worshiping, and you don't see them having a funeral. They never have funerals. They never have funerals. Oh, they mourn when some animal gets killed or something, but you don't see funerals. We just have funerals. We do. Why? Because we aren't like them. We're made for God in his most wondrous, marvelous way. So the world wants to keep us in the dark and keep us so that we don't believe. And God said, the only way you're going to win is when you understand that I have found my home in your heart. That's how you're going to win. You're not going to win if you don't understand that. That God has found his home. God, in his awesomeness, as we mentioned in Sunday school, God's awesome person is really, really in your heart. For real. Yeah. And therefore, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And therefore what? No matter who, no matter what, no matter where, no matter anything, who or what can overcome? God has found his home in your heart. You are his temple, his body, his house. You're God's. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. You are bought your own, as we shared this in Sunday school again. God owned you from top to bottom. God saved you from top to bottom. If you received him as your Savior, and that's an awesome thing to have that unique relationship. And we can only say it. And we have to what? Walk by faith. You can't do it by sight. Sight tells us it's real, but we can't put it together. I can't see you, God. Can't touch you. Can't feel you. Can't do anything. Where's God? Here you are in your magnificence, God. But we can't do anything with you. Ah, he said, listen. I am holy, you're unholy. I am spirit, and therefore you have to walk by faith, and you have to understand that I'm different. I am different than you. I'm your creator, and therefore that you'll have to learn. You'll have to learn what that means. I made you. Now, God, so that's what we're trying to do. But God said, you're never going to overcome all the opposition, for everything that opposes you understanding that truth. There's no way to overcome it. Your old nature doesn't want to know it. So God, we're going to have to go by faith. That's right. You walk by faith. That's how Abraham walked by faith and Noah walked by faith. What are we supposed to do? Walk by faith. That's what you have to do. You have to believe. You have to believe. That's how we shared it the other day with the airplane thing, illustration. Keep in mind. Airplane, dynamic, the gravity, we're in gravity. Gravity, it's everywhere. And we could flap our hands and do everything, but we can't fly. We can't jump up. We jump up, but we fall down. If we fall off the roof, we fall. We don't go up. We fall. It's gravity. Gravity doesn't go away, no. But if you needed to go up, then you could get in an aeroplane, aerodynamics, and you get in the aeroplane, and therefore the law of aerodynamics overcomes the law of gravity. It doesn't change it. It doesn't make it go away. You've got an old nature. I have an old nature. It isn't going away. But when you receive Christ, you receive another source, his nature, God's nature, the nature you're called, it's called eternal life. When you receive eternal life, That's what you have. You got your own. Listen, don't kid yourself. It's all real. But so is your God when you receive him as your Savior. He gives you his life. That's what he's trying to tell you, by faith. It isn't going, it's real. And you got to do it. And all the people that get on and off the plane, they're telling you, they believe. They get on the plane. And when the plane, you fly, you don't get, when you get in the airplane, you don't go when the plane's going to take off, down the runway, etc. And you don't stop flapping your hands. Everyone says, everyone flap their hands. Everyone flap so we can fly. You don't say that. You can go to sleep. The plane's just going to go. Why? You gave yourself to the law of gravity. To the law of aerodynamics. That's what you're going to do. You're going to give yourself to the law of God. And God's what? God's is greater. It's greater. That's why you win. That's why you're a winner. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. That's simple. Not simple. I'm simple. Not complicated. It's wonderful. So God, by faith, I'm going to get in the plane. By faith, I'm going to receive you as my Savior. And I can't do it, but you can. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So therefore, how are we going to cope with the spirit of error, etc., in the process? So God, looking at where we are, and so here's, we shared the foolishness of preaching and all of that, and the God of this world's going to do what he does, the way that he does it, and to keep us from believing. And we get tied up with each other, with the system, and we lose our fellowship, we lose our joy, and the words of God disappear, so we don't enjoy them. Now, and putting that so you lock it in, go over, if you would, to John, Gospel of John, chapter 5. Gospel of John and chapter 5. And, if I may, now in the light of the fact, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so therefore, here we are looking at God's Word. And what do we need to know? And you know it. So when we read God's Word, as we look to God's Word to outwork itself, what are we going to do? Well, chapter 5 of the Gospel of John, our Lord says it, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. And you have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You've never had any contact with God. You have no contact with God. No, you don't. How can you? He's invisible. And you're earthly. You're blind. You're dead in sins. You have none of that. So therefore, verse 38, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. That's the whole point. So God, what are you going to say? You know it. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They're all about, from Genesis to Revelation. It's God making himself known. So God, as we read the Bible, the Word of God, we're able to enjoy your awesome person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So we're going to hear, remember John 17 in the Mount Trent, Matthew chapter 17, and the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah are there. And it was such an awesome, wonderful thing that they were having that experience. And they were getting all caught up to stay right up there on that mountain. And God took it all away. All away. All went. And then God said, verse 8, this is my beloved Son, Hear ye him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Verse 8, and they saw no man anymore. It wasn't about Moses, no. It wasn't about Elijah. Why? It was all about him, because all the scripture is about him. It isn't about Elijah. It's about the God of Elijah. It isn't about Moses. It's the God of Moses. It isn't about you or me. It's about our God. That's what it is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So therefore, the Spirit of God is going to go and make us overcomers. That's why you would know, without turning there perhaps, Revelation chapter 2 and 7 and 11 and all of those. And you say it to every church. What do you say to every church? He that heareth my word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. By what? Hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. Hear it. God speaking to the believers. Here we are. Here's 1 John. 1 John telling the believers, stop getting so confused. And when you get confused, you lose the enjoyment. You lose the freshness. You lose the simplicity of just enjoying God's awesome person in a wonderful way. You lose it. You don't have it. So therefore, no, it's in the present tense. All of those. No, hear ye the Spirit of God in a most wonderful way. So having said that and keeping that in mind, so we know that back in chapter 4, 1 John, and we're just sort of chatting, 1 John, and in chapter 4, remind yourself, God's going to test them. And chapter 4, in verse 5, now remember what he said, they are in the world. Test them is God. Where is God? If you don't find God, then be careful what you're listening to and relax and learn and do what you can. But you want, look, it isn't going to be God speaking. You want to hear from God. And people say they can't speak for God. An unsaved man can't speak for God. God could use it, maybe, but he doesn't do that. So now, here we are in verse 4. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. In other words, the world is busy listening to each other. They all hear each other. They all speak the same language. They all have different religions, but they're all religions. And religion wars with and respects other religions. It doesn't. The Shiites and the Sunnis and there and in the Islam, et cetera. And we all do what we do. We all talk, we all know each other. We're all comfortable with each other. That's what we are. The world does. The world listens. They won't listen to you. It's foolishness to hear what you're saying. But for us to listen to foolish things, stupid things, we hear them and believe. That's what we do. So, here we are looking, if we can. And so the world's busy hearing itself. And we're supposed to know the difference so that we used to be unsaved, and we have a hearing. I can hear the world. I have an old nature the same as everybody else does. We all have one. We all hear each other. But Christ has given us a whole nother way of a relationship to understand and hear him. And he is the source. And it isn't when he has given us his word to know him. Is God there? Looking for God. How are we going to know that? Jesus Christ. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, Judea, was God in that little baby in the flesh. And God resurrected, seated at the right hand of God right now. And his perfect humanity is right here. And he's able to go to a whosoever that would believe and save him. The Lord Jesus in his humanity is there. God and his wonderful deity is here. And he's able to go to any man, woman, boy, or girl that turns their heart. How far are you? God says it. How far am I away from you? I'm right next to you. All you have to do is believe. And my son has made it possible for me to come into your heart and make you mine. You belong to me in one moment. And God, you've made that possible. And we are to enjoy that unique, awesome relationship to you in a wonderful, wonderful way. That's how we know the difference. God saves us into the light so that we don't follow darkness. Chapter 4, verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of God is going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit of error is going to honor the spirit of Antichrist. Darkness. Simple. You've got to have what? The greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It isn't anything about us. We aren't going to do it. No, he did it. God does it. God makes us a victory. God gives us the victory. God makes us overcomers. We can do it. We got an old nature like everyone again, but God saves us in a most wonderful way to honor him as we go down the corridor of time. So therefore, the world will go, as you know. They love darkness rather than light. John 15, the world hates him. It hates Christ. It says it does. And if you're going to let Christ rule in your life and save you, the world's going to hate you. The world system does. Now you can say, well, part of it, we got an old nature. And as you try to make sure your old nature dominates, then you'll fit in. You can go to work, school, and home and do all of that. And you want to trust God and look to God, like it says in Timothy, to be able to live at peace and have some measure of comfort in the world, knowing the world, being a godly man, a godly woman, a godly boy, a godly girl, to be able to what? To live a godly life, God-fearing, God-trusting, God's life. You'll become a child of God in a wonderful way in a world of darkness. And you want to enjoy the transition. God has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his light. And God wants you to enjoy. You're still here. That's right. Now, having said that little bit, exercise that knowledge. You're going to know good and error. So when I listen to people say things, is the person I'm talking to, is the thing I'm listening to, do they recognize Jesus Christ is literally God in the flesh? And they either do or they don't. That's the test. That's the test. See it, light. Do I see light or do I see darkness? What do I see? What do I hear? Now, exercise. Over again. Over to Psalm 40. And we just sort of wandered a little bit, but I hope you got a little bit to understand God is saying, listen, it's a simple test. Either God, look for God. If you don't find God, then relax. Chapter 40, Psalm 40, and going directly in the light for time's sake and all of that, picking up, if I may, in verse 5. Well, I'll read verse 4. Blessed is the man, that man, that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. There's no way we can handle what you think. I would declare, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. There's God. There's no way I could understand your thoughts about me, thoughts about us. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, go over with me, please, over to Isaiah 55. And, as you know, Isaiah 55. And you're looking, and what are we told? God's a wonderful Savior. He's able to save us if we hunger and thirst. Chapter 55, verse 1, everyone that thirsteth, to him, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine, milk without money and without price. In other words, to enjoy the mercy of God and be saved. Now, what are you going to know? Well, God, I need to know what? Verse 7, verse 8 for time. For God, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now we read in Psalm 40, we reminded ourselves that his thoughts cannot be numbered. So God, your thoughts are higher than the heavens. Verse 8, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, as the normal cycle of every seasons come and go. All of that happens normally, rightly, consistently. The law, like the law of gravity, it just is there. But, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It's going to do everything I said it would. Okay, that's good. Now hang and put that together. Over to Psalm 139. God's thoughts are higher than, the whole thing is out of our reach. That's correct. And again, David will say it for us, and we'll say it again with David. Psalm 139, and you will note, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Yeah. When I'm all done, God, it's all beyond. It's all of your thoughts are higher than the heavens, God. Wow. Yeah. So now, put that together. Back over to 1 John. Over in 1 John. And over in 1 John, picking up if I may. And I'll read just to pick up the time. 1 John chapter 3. And whatsoever, verse 22, 1 John 3:22. I'll read verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And you know from the Gospel of John, ask whatever you will. Say it over. He says it over. Ask whatever you will and I'll do it. Ask whatever you will and I'll do it. That's what he said. He says, that's what he said. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, we ask and we receive. That's what we're going to do. So whatever you do, God, all that you say, God, you're going to do if we ask. That's right. All right. So, God, you've given us your word. You've given us your word. And we ask. And we're asking for what? 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, If we ask, whatsoever we ask, chapter 5, verse 15, the First John 5:15. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, there it is, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So God, we have him. We have him. And we know that. So therefore, God, what are we doing? We already have what you've given to us. If we ask anything in your name, you're going to do it. Verse 14 and 15, as you, this is the confidence, etc. That if we ask anything, verse 14, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So asking, what are we doing? We're going to ask God. We read God's word, and we read God's word. And that's what God's will. That's what we want to know. So God, we read to understand your wonderful person in a wonderful way. And we read God's word to be able to be conscious of God. We may not understand what we read. We may not understand it, but we read it, and God said it. God means what he says what he means. So you say it, God, you do. It's beyond my, I even when I'm reading, but I believe. It looks good, God. You're going to help me. Ah, yes, ask whatever. I am asking. I'm reading. Now, God, what? What do I know? Because I'm believing, the scriptures are given. For God, what? The scriptures speak of me. All that it says, John 5, Gospel of John 5:39. The scriptures, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which tell of me. So God, here we are reading the word, and we do that. And we do that. And we're trusting it, God. And as we trust it, what do we know? That your thoughts about us in this moment of time are higher than the heavens. This, I read this, I understand this, but what is beyond this? The God who said this is thinking thoughts beyond the sand of the sea about the believing heart. I don't have them, but I have the book. And I read the book and reminds me of God who gave the book. And the God who gave the book said, this is to help you what? To be God conscious of what I'm doing. And all that I'm doing is above and beyond all that you could ask or think. As the sand of the sea. So when I read anything and I understand anything, it has to be understood that this that I understand in my hand opens up to be able to grasp beyond what I can ask or think. I cannot count them. I could not understand them. All you can do, God, is what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I trust God. So it wasn't just the page that we read. The page that we read is from God to get us to what? Who God, who has immense everything, like we share with a person, a doctor or something. They tell us this little bit, but they have this huge amount of knowledge about everything we are. And we have to trust them because they have it. We don't. And we trust him. And we're trusting God. Thoughts, above all, my thoughts and my ways are higher than the heavens. And by the way, all of those thoughts, you'll find yourself in the middle. Let's say it that way. You'll find yourself in the middle of God's thinking. Is it louder? You'll find yourself in the middle of God's thinking. That's what you do. Anyway, I gotta quit. Oh, Father and God, we thank you for your word a little bit. Help us understand just something. And our God, we're going to thank you very much for what you do, how you do, and Spirit of God, thanks a lot just for being you. Thank you very, 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 very much. So help us in every way, even now, your day, your time, for your glory and your honor. Thank you, God. In Christ's name, amen.